You guys bed sweaters?
Oh my God, last night more than ever.
Right? It's bed sweating season.
Yeah, it is bed sweating season.
Yeah, today I turned on my AC for the first time since living in this apartment.
Hey, nice. How's she humming?
Good. Good. I mean, not right now. I turned her off for the recording.
Well, that's good. What do you got her set at?
Well, I set it to 72, but I have a sneaking suspicion that my thermostat is not accurate because it also says that, like, yesterday it said it was 81 in here, and it was warm, but it was not 81 warm.
Who are you to say that?
I don't know. 81 is, like, very hot. Like, I was not uncomfortably warm. It was just like, okay, I wish it was a couple degrees cooler.
All right, I have so many thoughts on this, but first I'm going to let Mike finish the bed sweating.
Well, yeah, I was just thinking, like, you know, like, I've been into music lately a lot more. I was just thinking Michael Bogart and the bed sweaters.
Oh, that's not a bad idea.
Do you guys want to be my bed sweaters?
No. What do you mean that's not a bad idea? That sounds so horribly uncomfortable. The three of us laying in the same bed sweating together?
That's all our album. Like, album art, definitely we're in bed together, but, like, we don't have to perform in bed together. We don't have to, like, travel in bed together. We could be separate people otherwise.
Yeah, but we are euphemistically in bed together as well. Do we have to sweat in that relationship? I don't want that. Is at least our career good?
Our career is great. Have you heard our name?
for the album art, can we at least, like, have it not be a very heavy quilt in that bed, or do we need to be visibly sweating?
That's a nice, like, visual pun. It's like a very light sheet.
Yeah. Or maybe we get somebody to knit a, like, sweater for the bed, like, wrap it all the way around underneath this bed, and we're inside it. Double meaning.
Ladies and gentlemen, Josh has invented the blanket.
The bed sweater. It's perfect.
It's not the bed sweater.
It is the bed sweater.
What about Bogart and the Blanket Boys?
All right. I mean, that's good, too. That's a little more of a punk vibe. Bogart and the Blanket Boys. It's a little... You're listening to Instead Of, a hypothetical podcast with Josh Harrison, Deppin Johnny, and me, Mike Bogart.
Mike, you just won a contest. You can name a new Pokemon. Go.
Oh, God. Arachnid.
Stop. You're going to accidentally say every wrong word. Stop.
Jesus.
God, you started on like 9 of the words you can't say.
I've been doing so much cooking lately.
Oh,
me
nice.
Too.
Yeah, actually, if you'll believe it, well, I've been eating home-cooked food. That's how I jump in. And hot dogs. I make hot dogs now.
Nice.
Yeah, I got the trophy saying that I delivered 1,000 meals that I prepared.
Dude, cool. What do you mean you did?
Whoa.
I didn't know you were doing something charitable.
Well, no. So I've been playing this game called Overcooked.
God damn it.
Oh, God, 1,000 was way too many.
So you didn't help anybody who needs food right now, by the way?
No, not even a little.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you take food out of their mouths?
Well, there was another trophy that I wanted to go for, to throw 99 food items in the trash.
Oh, my God.
So I was, like, taking out these perfectly plump red tomatoes and just immediately hucking them in the garbage.
Dude, what the hell?
Jeez. Somebody could have eaten those.
Everybody loves tomatoes, dude.
Yeah. Well, it's an endless supply. You could just keep pulling them out.
It's... Oh. Well, what do you mean it's an endless supply? Where are you?
I mean, you're in all kinds of places. You're on the beach. You're in a Harry Potter castle. You're in a graveyard.
Hogwarts?
Harry Potter Cath Castle, everybody.
Well, I almost said cathedral. Anyway... I've been cooking a lot, and all of these kitchens seem the most terribly designed, which I get is the point of the game. Like, this is not lost on me. I'm not wondering why they're designed this way, but it's like there are conveyor belts that lead into the trash. The plates, when they're dirty, come back on the other side of the kitchen from where they need to be washed. And in some places, you don't even have a sink. You need to wash them with a squirt gun when you're on the beach.
So you have an endless supply of tomatoes, but you need to use a squirt gun to clean the dishes?
Yeah, and sometimes...
By
like,
the beach? Do you know how much water is there?
Yeah, and sometimes you just get, like, fires that start in the kitchen. Like, you have this really nice decorative torch or flame, like, pit in the middle, and sometimes it'll just, like, burp out flames that just, like, start fires in your kitchen, and you're just like, well, I gotta put that out with the fire extinguisher and move on.
Mike, is he talking about a stove?
No. It's like a fire pit.
I can't tell how much of this is like video game life or you're actually at the beach. I honestly don't know like where you're doing all this.
I did go to the beach the other day. That was really nice.
See, like, do you play video games at the beach? I can see you doing that.
No, I've never done that. I don't think I've ever done that. I've probably done that on my phone or something.
I bet you've done that. Yeah, you've definitely
come
done
on. That. Well, I was actually going to be surprised for a second. Now I retract that. That inkling is gone.
Yeah, but it's just like, it's as awfully complicated as this is, I feel like it would be super entertaining to watch, and I want to watch a TV show. There are so many cooking shows out there, and I know that there's some that are intentionally bad. There's like that Nailed It show where it's like, hey, these are really bad cooks that are making, you know, really poorly presented things.
I thought I would enjoy that, but I don't enjoy that.
No, I don't either.
I want to see people do their best and not like bad people do their best. I want do the best of the thing you're good at and then show me on TV.
That's not true. You liked, what was that TV show? America's Worst Cook in America or something?
But wasn't that like a total misnomer? Weren't they all like professional chefs or something? I can't remember how they did it.
I'm pretty sure the first episode had somebody mixing together like balsamic vinaigrette and a couple other things and claimed she was making chocolate.
That sounds horrible.
You showed me the show.
All right. I mean, I'm not beyond like freakish, you know, circus-like fascination, but it's not what I go back to for episodes 2 and 3. For instance, I'm watching a flower competition right now on Netflix and it's very nice.
Dude, I want to see that. Is it good?
It's so good.
Oh, how does it go? Like, what do they do? What's the competition?
I will tell you all about it. But again, Mike, Josh was telling us something.
Well, so instead of kitchens that are needlessly complicated, make something else incredibly complex and convoluted and just a disaster in many different ways and make it into a TV show that you would want to watch.
I feel like this is where JD from Scrubs would be like, how about my life? He always took himself so goddamn seriously. It's fine. You'll be fine.
He was fine, wasn't he? He was fine in the end. He was a doctor. Like, everything's pretty good for JD.
All right. What are you complicating, Mr. Bogart?
I complicate everything already. I'm just trying to narrow it down.
Do you have any supply chain processes that you're a part of? Processes, even?
That's a good question. I'm a part of a lot of supply chains, aren't I?
Are you?
I mean, I'm the end part of them, but I'm part of them.
You're a customer.
The receiver. Yeah, I catch it.
So, are you saying that like you're in the kitchen appliance industry just because you bought a KitchenAid one time?
Wow.
I mean, I am. I'm a consumer. I'm engaged. Okay. I'm a statistic within a pots and pans company's data.
Hmm. Hey, anyway. Wait, Josh and Mike, name a pots and pans company.
Calphalon.
Cuisinart.
Well, actually, I can... As much as, Josh, you got the answer in first, the passion behind Cuisinart. Okay, Mike, you work at Cuisinart. You're in charge of the supply chain production of whatever item you last bought from them, but you got to make it a way worse process than it probably is. Tell us how you would make whatever you just bought from them.
Okay, let's go with OXO. You guys know OXO?
Look, yeah.
Dude,
they make so many gadgets.
I thought it was OXO.
Are you making a budget change right now to the situation? It's fine. We can imagine. You have Cuisinart money, okay?
Okay. Yeah, OXO. I'm going to make a pizza cutter.
Okay.
I'm going to make the world's best pizza cutter.
Wow.
That's what we call it, TM.
TM.
And C and R.
Nice.
Registered trademark. Copyright trademark. I don't know the words. I got all of them, though.
All right. This product is yours.
The world's best pizza cutter. How do they normally make pizza cutters?
All right. I think this is going to be as fruitful as I imagined. Whatever they do, I can't imagine that you're going to replicate it exactly. So just go for it, I say.
Okay.
If you're going to trademark it, you need to have like a totally unique process.
Great point. Oh, look at that. We got a lawyer.
We need to test the shit out of this thing, don't we?
Yeah.
If it's the world's best, how do we prove it? That's what I'm saying.
Testimonials.
Sure. Testimonials and tests themselves.
Right. Yeah, that part of the supply chain process is typically called QA. People have had the thought, and now you are, like, you know, you're on an inventor's path.
Yeah, that's where my innovations come in, the QA.
Okay,
so
okay.
We got a pizza cutter. You slap together any pizza cutter, right? You just put a circle on a stick, boom, pizza cutter.
What? What about wheels?
Put a circle on two sticks. Put a circle between two sticks. Put a little stick in between them. Boom, pizza cutter.
So a bagel is a pizza cutter.
Yeah,
a sharp bagel would be a fucking great pizza cutter.
Sharp bagel, got
it. Dude, it's impossible to argue now, because if he can add sharp to anything, then he's right. Anything that's a circle and can be made sharp is a pizza cutter. Damn. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And that's where, you know, my team comes in. Before the QA, we've innovated some sharp bagel technology. No handles.
Okay.
It's a no-handle pizza cutter, just a sphere. It saves space. It's modern. It's, you know.
Wait, how does a sphere save space?
No stick.
Well, no stick, but a sphere now is wide. Like,
Sorry. It's a disc. Okay. It's not a ball.
Okay.
That wouldn't cut a pizza. A sharp ball is what I call a disc. So, back to my innovations, the QA phase. We're testing this thing. We're cutting pizza in zero gravity. We're cutting pizza upside down. Not upside down. We're cutting pizza that's on the ceiling, but from the ground.
So it's like a space pizza cutter. You can cut from any angle.
It's like the pens. Like the pens you can write upside down.
Yep, that's the reference.
Cut pizza upside down. Boom.
Will the toppings fall off if the pizza is upside down?
Yeah. No, not in zero gravity. The toppings are stuck to the pizza in zero gravity.
Oh, all right. I think that's true. I just don't know.
Mike, how much does this item cost?
Pause. We haven't had any conversation about QA yet.
Well, that's true.
Well, you know, we're going to do my tests. And it's going to pass the tests.
What are your tests?
They're cutting pizza in zero gravity, cutting pizza on the ceiling from the ground, cutting pizza on the wall from the ground, cutting pizza on the ground from the ceiling, and cutting pizza on the wall from the opposite wall.
All the places where people enjoy pizza.
If it works there, it's going to work on a table.
That's a great slogan, dude.
Well, so I might have a wrench to throw in this. So let's cut to the chase. Mike, how much is this?
$49.99.
Okay, I just sent you guys a picture. I found the Joseph Easy Clean Disc Pizza Wheel. It's no sticks. It's just the wheel, and it's $8.96.
Oh shit! Okay, Joseph. Ugh, yikes.
Mike, he's also done the thing where I guarantee you were gonna have it be a 360-degree bladed wheel, and at some point the people were gonna chop their own hands up. He's protected for that. Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's used something called a plastic cover.
His has a guard for your hand? I was thinking you sell an accompanying, like, glove. And that's $25. So that's another sort of merchandising expansion kit thing, you know? So you kind of have to have both. So it's really $75 if you want to use it.
Let me get this straight. The world's best pizza cutter is a $75 glove and, like, saw attachment.
Yeah, but it's just the best one. It's been tested like no other pizza cutter's been ever tested.
I did say, to be fair, that I wanted something complex and convoluted, and the Joseph Easy Clean Disc Pizza Wheel seems a little too simple for my tastes.
How can you say that? He has two Josephs.
Exactly. It's so simple, you don't even need to remember two names.
No, dude. Okay, first of all, that was really, really slick. I'll give you that. But a double Joseph, I think, is like the very definition of being convoluted.
Yeah, that's true. That's unnecessarily complicated.
It's verbose. Yeah.
It's not Joseph, Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat, Dreamcoat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Michael Bogart's world's best pizza cutter, cutter. This one cuts other pizza cutters. How convoluted is that?
Now I like this.
Joseph Joseph buys yours to cut the blades of theirs?
Oh.
Yeah, dude. I'm a manufacturer.
Well, yeah, kind of. But yes, you have entered a different industry. Welcome, Mike.
Now you're B2B.
Huh?
How about that? You're the... It means business to business. You're going to be supplying... you're going to be supplying people with, like, I don't know, parts.
Yeah, I'm a parts guy. It's been my trajectory my whole life. I'm finally there. Parts guy.
That is impossible to argue that that wasn't your trajectory this whole time, actually.
Right? I know. I'm never the full thing. I'm just a parts guy.
Wow. New business.
Hey, if it works, it works. It works.
Have either of you guys seen the movie Center Stage?
No.
I don't think so.
Are you familiar with it at all?
Who's in it?
Well, that's the thing. It's a... I'll use the description on IMDb. Quote, a group of 12 teenagers from various backgrounds enroll at the American Ballet Academy in New York to make it as ballet dancers, and each one deals with the problems and stress of training and getting ahead in the world of dance. End quote.
Jeez, all 12?
All 12 of them.
Is it an ensemble cast, or did they focus on just one or two of them?
Honestly, it's an ensemble cast. Everyone can dance. So, like, there are some people who are, like, dancers more than they are actors who are in the cast, and in other cases, vice versa. Also, fun fact, Zoe Saldana's breakout role.
Oh.
Oh.
There you go.
Cool. I can see that.
She's like a badass dancer who don't take no guff. And then, well, I won't spoil anything, but her arc is just great payoff on that Center Stage arc. Ugh, I'm just thinking about it now. Anyway, I was watching this movie courtesy of Lawrence Picks of Movies two nights ago.
Nice.
And it turns out this film is also celebrating its 20-year anniversary.
Wow.
So, tell me what you were into 20 years ago, like a group thing, and if they made a movie about it, what would the movie be?
Oh, God.
Mm.
That's like peak embarrassing stuff I was into when I was 12.
2000, Mike. So I haven't met you, Mike. We met September 01, that fateful month.
Yeah, we did. You didn't know me yet. This was seventh grade.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Josh, you were just rounding your 40s.
I was 15.
Mm-hmm.
And I had just kind of like met the group of friends that I would have throughout the rest of high school and that I would stay in touch with through college.
The crew,
of which friend of the show, Cassie, is in that group.
Nice. Shout out to Cassie. So what did you guys do? You were the gamer kids? You were you were the ska kids.
No, we weren't the ska kids. I didn't get into ska until like college or a little after even. Yeah, I was late to the ska game. Although I liked a lot of stuff that I didn't realize was ska at the time. Like, I don't know. I never knew that Mighty Mighty Boston's were ska when I liked a few of their songs in high school or whatever. Anyway.
Man, nothing in this whole world has ever summarized Josh Harrison like the quote, I was late to the ska game. Wow. Says it all.
But yeah, I don't know. We didn't, this was the first group where it wasn't like, well, we got together to play video games in my parents' basement. Like, that
nice.
Was my group of friends that I had in middle school. But this group, it was just we were social kids. Like, we would get together and every Friday night a different person would host a, party-ish thing at their parents' house. And
wait, that's really nice.
I don't know. Once in a while, it was at my house. Yeah, it was really nice. Okay. Well, here's a little quick little anecdote is one time had a bunch of people over to my house. We went for a walk in my neighborhood. My mom has a really large mailbox.
How could this possibly be one little anecdote? Well, it's like about to read the next great American novel with that line.
No, she does because she's an accountant, so she has like a lot of like large envelopes that have like, you know, 100 pages in them delivered, and this is something that sometimes happens multiple times in a single mail delivery. So she has a large mailbox.
Jesus. Wow. That's so much reading. I would just skip it and lie on my taxes.
And so one of my friends thought that he would be funny, and he just picked up the mailbox and started carrying it down the street.
How do you...
What?
Pick? How, he pulled it out of the ground?
No, it was like just kind of sitting on the post. Like, I think that because it was so...
It wasn't screwed on?
This because... This is like suburban cuckoo's nest or something.
I didn't know you could just pick him up. I never tried.
I don't know if you can. Usually, maybe because it was so large, the weight of it kept it from ever moving before. But then one of our neighbors...
That's what Mike is saying. He's saying it was too heavy.
Yeah, one of our neighbors saw us walking and thought that she was like catching some hoodlums and being like, come on, go stop doing vandalism to the people that live in this neighborhood. But like, I was there, and when I got back to the house, that neighbor was like in the kitchen talking to my mom, and my mom just had that look of like, we're going to have a talk once everybody is gone.
Jesus.
Uh-oh. So I don't know. Turn that into what you were asking.
Why? You do some work, all right? I don't just want to hear a story about the time your friend ripped a mailbox out of the ground without the rest of it being done.
Okay, so fine. Fast forward 20 years. This was the taste of mailbox theft for Jesse was his name.
You're in a mail fraud ring now.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait. I don't need you to come 20 years into the future and be, you know, actually, fine, just fuck it. Okay, so now you're in a present day mailbox or mail fraud ring, rather. How's it going? What's the movie about?
The mailbox was not big enough. Like that was a big thing that could hold a lot of mail, but you know it can hold more mail than that? USPS sorting centers.
You're gonna pick up an entire USPS sorting center.
We're gonna go get it.
This is the perfect crime. If you have a big enough crane, you can just lift the entire USPS after they close, because they close at like, what, 4 o'clock on most days, it seems.
You're gonna show up in the daylight.
Well, you just put the crane in position, and then you use the cover of darkness to actually do the lifting. You put it onto a nearby barge. Let's get the one in downtown Boston. That's a huge facility. It was right near where I used to live. It's right on the water. It's like 40 feet from the water. You could easily get a crane. Now you've got all that mail. Oh my God, let's do it when the next stimulus checks come.
Perfect timing.
That's a good time to do a heist. But just to be clear, you're going to just, there's going to be a full-size post office like in the barge. People are going to notice that.
Well, yeah, but I'll already have deposited all the checks. Well, me and Jesse, and I mean, I guess I'm implicating Cassie as well in this, and the other people too.
It's not a bad movie. I'll watch it.
You need a crew.
Yeah, I'm actually into this. I had no idea that that's how you spent your time 2 decades ago, but here we are. Mike, why don't you go into the past? Stay in the year 2000. Tell me what you did socially with others, and make a movie about that time period.
Oh, my God.
I want to see this on Super 8.
That's what I was going to say.
No, High 8. High 8.
High 8?
Right? High 8 is after Super 8.
Is that better or worse?
No, Super 8 was...
Super seems higher than high.
What was going on in the year 2000?
Gee whiz. I was a 12-year-old boy. What was I doing? I was in 7th grade, so I was probably listening to, like, System of a Down a lot.
Nice.
On the bus.
Okay.
Yeah.
Were you one of the System of a Down kids?
No. Okay, I wasn't okay. One of those. I was the classic innocuous white brown hair.
Right, okay.
So many of those. I was one of those. What else did I do? That's when I started doing push-ups.
Right, I remember that summer. You've told us about it. But
yeah,
what about pre-push-ups? Because push-ups happen.
I wasn't really in a group. I was in a weird group before you. My friends pre-you were weirdos.
Okay, this is perfect movie material. What kind of weirdos?
Oh, gosh. One time, one of them was, like, very into Wicca stuff and asked me to have sex with a tree with him.
What the hell?
Oh.
Yeah.
Hang on.
I know. I was 12.
Dude, what?
Yeah, he was, it was strange.
So
I said no.
Okay.
I didn't
know. Strange.
I didn't know what to say.
Oh my God. All right. So you were in the Witch's Cult of Lyle?
I guess for a minute. For the 1 minute before I said no.
He was barking up the wrong tree.
That's funny, Josh.
Barking.
All right, Mike. So that's your world. That's your movie, unfortunately. Tell us about the Witch's...
The tree sexers?
Well, if you... Jesus, I was going to try to spare you from that by calling you the Witches of Lyle, remember? But you want to go with the tree sexer, so now that's
no,
where you
wait,
are.
No, wait,
Mike, this is not a drama or any movie of fiction. This is like a 6-part Netflix documentary.
Called the tree sexers.
I'm in the documentary, huh?
It's arguable you're the main character.
It's about me? Okay.
And because Netflix loves having, like, you know, really, like, short and impactful titles, the title for this documentary series is Wood.
Really? You don't want to... Okay, I thought we'd go with the more vulgar one, but Wood is good, but I think Wood is a thing already.
Is it? Ed Wood is a thing.
All right,
can we call me Ed Wood in the show?
No, we can't.
Oh, damn.
All right, so Mike, tell us what you're all striving towards. What's like the arc of this show? How is it, what are you trying to solve or figure out? Like, these guys were trying to get in to the American Ballet Company. There were only 6 slots. Thankfully, there were only 6 main characters. But I won't tell you how it works out.
Okay. Well, shit. I guess I'm in a coven at this point, am I not?
You were.
I'm competing against the other members of my coven to be the one who gets to have sex with the tree at the end, I guess.
It sounds like in real life you didn't want to do that, though, so your character can also not want to do that.
Okay. Well, I'm also detecting a very strong through line to last week's episode.
Don't say just
with the tree sex.
Okay,
so
don't say the words again. It was too much.
Sure. Okay, so my character is like a reluctant witch at this point. Is that what? Okay.
You're being pressured.
Yeah, what are they trying to do by season's end? Let's say this arcs on Halloween. You witches love Halloween, right?
Yeah, that's our day.
That's your day. So
All Hallows Eve.
Perfect. That's going to be the end of the show, episode 6.
Okay. On episode 6, jeez. I mean, I don't want to say tree orgy, but...
Oh, God, that's what this has been building towards.
I don't know where else this goes.
So it has to end in the forest, I assume, unless you're going to somehow pull in Josh's technology.
I don't think I want to. This is the forest. How did your show end?
How did my movie end?
He's like, listen, I'm Hollywood. Don't talk down to me.
Yeah, silver screen, baby. Right. Well, so I deposited all of those checks. All of us became multimillionaires. There was probably $100 million in checks in that.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was the name of your crew and movie, by the way, Josh?
That was...
And it has to exemplify what your group of friends did. Or, in Center Stage's case, the location where it all mattered.
Barging in.
Damn it. Fine. Barging in, the new comedy with Ed O'Neill.
Perfect casting.
Yeah, but so I don't know. So we ended up sailing off into the distance, but we wanted to leave room for a sequel. So right as we're about to cross over the horizon, you see the Coast Guard. Whoop, whoop. Coming in after us.
Uh-oh.
Oh, that's it. Okay, right. So,
cliffhanger.
Yeah, sorry. I expected you to tell me what was going to happen. Obviously, I will wait for the sequel.
The sequel, S-E-A-quel, on high seas. Mail fraud. Of the ocean.
International waters. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where you got to do mail fraud.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Can't arrest us.
But you got to intercept sea mail, I guess, now.
Yeah. Okay, Mike.
That's going to be tough.
Listen, what have you learned from this to help end your show?
I have learned that in episode 6 of mine, it's All Hallows Eve, and there's a big tree orgy, but at the end, someone gets picked as the the like tree king for the next season, much like Midsummer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, spoiler.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Some sort of Wiccan festival where best tree fucker becomes the king or the queen for the next spring season.
Mm-hmm.
I really wasn't in this group very long.
You didn't stick around for this?
I didn't stick around. I bailed like at the first mention of having sex with a tree. So I'm really not sure what happens with these guys.
Do you think he actually had sex with a tree?
Yes.
I really do. I was just about to say, at this point, this is just straight rumors.
We haven't named names yet.
No. Oh, I never will. To my grave, this name goes.
What if they plant a tree on top of your grave, Mike? Or rather, they bury you underneath a tree. And then the last scene of your life's movie, he peeks out from behind.
Oh, my God. Like, now I feel like he's having sex with me.
He's having sex with your tree.
I know. I grew that tree out of my body.
Ew.
I made a weird movie. I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah, this movie is nothing like Center Stage, which I recommend, by the way. Really good. Like in the most 2000s way. Also great dancing.
Mine has good dancing too.
Oh.
How?
Dancing like under the moonlight?
Yeah, exactly.
Like naked dancing? Is it? It seems like one of those naked dances.
It's all naked. We're naked all. I guess it's a limited series, 6 episodes.
Yeah.
We're naked the whole time.
Even when you go to like Lowe's to buy soil.
Why would they go to Lowe's? They're surrounded by soil.
We live in the forest, but we need the enriched like topsoil. They sell at Lowe's. It helps.
That's a really funny image, picturing Josh pouring like Lowe's ready soil in the middle of the forest. Like the goddamn insane person he is.
News alert.
Breaking news.
Yeah, comms. What's up?
Our top story tonight.
Are you stealing my bit?
Yeah.
Josh, he's right in the middle of it. Let him at least finish.
Scientists made a mouse embryo that's 4% human, the highest level of human cells in an animal yet.
What? Okay.
What's the purpose? Are we creating half mice, half... Oh, that's what that book was all about, the Of Mice and Men.
This is exactly Of Mice and Men. Scientists have created a mouse embryo that's part human, 4% to be exact.
Wow.
The hybrid is what scientists call a human-animal chimera, a single organism that's made up of two different sets of cells. In this case, a mouse embryo that has both mouse cells and human cells.
Yeah, we get it.
Weird.
That was an unnecessary sentence, CNN.
Yeah.
This sounds dangerous.
It sounds horrible, right? Who asked for this?
This is the beginning of a horror movie.
Nobody wanted a mouse-human chimera.
Which 4% of the human is the mouse getting?
That is exactly what I would like to know.
My guess is the mouth. All of a sudden, we're going to hear some real mouthy fucking mouse. I don't like how this sounds.
A mouthy mouse?
How can you say it so clean? Can you say it again?
Mouthy mouse. Mouthy mouse. Both
mouthy words. Mouse.
That's
mouthy
what I'm going mouse. With. I like this character.
That is a good character, mouthy mouse.
4% human, 100% attitude.
Whenever you have like these cartoon mice, they always have these like goofy rounded teeth or whatever, where you know it looks like just like little half circles coming out of the top and bottom. Imagine like actual human teeth coming out though, in a rat's face.
Jesus,
a
man!
A rat with human teeth.
Yeah,
it's a cartoon. In it's, my show, at least.
Okay.
Horrifying. I would like to know. Instead of a mouse, your like ideal human blank chimera. What do you want to be? What do you want? You can have up to, I believe you can have up to 49% of your cells a different animal.
Okay. I want.
Is that, that can't be right. Anyway, go on.
I just made that up. But.
I want two things. So I'm gonna do 25 and 24% of two different animals and then keep my 51% human.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how this works. Here we go.
Okay, I'm going to do 24% dolphin so that I can hold my breath underwater for a long time.
So like your respiratory system is that of a dolphin?
Yes.
I think if you're 24% dolphin, like either all of your insides are like dolphin or like parts of your body have to look like a dolphin.
That's not even a quarter. That's not even a quarter. It would just be my lung system.
Your lung system is 24% of your entire being?
Yep.
Well, yeah, that's science.
You've just made a lot of pulmonologists feel real good about themselves.
Sorry, Uncle Ian. Take a deep breath and tell me that your lungs don't feel like they're taking up your entire chest cavity.
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty filling.
Yeah.
I won't lie to you. I've never been able to feel any of my insides, so I can't answer this question.
Anyway, and then 25% eagle wings.
Yeah, I guess.
Instead of arms?
Let's say in addition to.
So on your back.
Yeah, so kind of like angel wings they would look like.
Aren't those going to impede your swimming?
Well,
big-ass angel wings.
Are you in the water? Yeah, you got to be
no,
in the
I
water.
No, I mean, it would be a little unfortunate, but I would need to wear a bodysuit. No big deal.
What kind of bodysuit is going to fit over a set of angel wings?
Okay, look, if I have these things, I am sure that I can turn my freak show circus body into something that can make me enough money to get a custom wetsuit made.
What if you just have duck wings? Those are for water.
Oh, yeah, sure. Duck wings. Done.
Okay, you got duck wings, you
on
got
his back.
Dolphin's lungs,
yeah.
And the rest is just regular Josh.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Good grief.
Do you live in the water?
I live wherever I fucking want. Air, land, sea.
You need one of those, like...
Who do you mate with?
I could mate with whoever I want. That's the other beauty of this.
Human penis.
Yeah, I'm keeping that.
So, mostly humans, then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess he would have to, right? Thank God. Or at least you'd want him to.
Not many trees.
Well, I'm more concerned for the dolphins.
They're at risk in this situation. Who do you got? Who are you... are you 49% one animal? Maybe, like... 999...
What?
No, seven... You're seven different... 7 times 7 is 49, right?
Yes.
Okay, you're seven different animals.
I'm seven different animals to make up the 49%, and then human.
You could be. You could.
Could be, if you want.
You know what I would like to be is I'd like to be 51% me, and then 49% just like whatever the model of human perfection was. Just like become turbo me.
I never thought of that.
Take their insides, take some of their like outer features.
Yeah.
I know Josh wanted to keep his donger, but I'm open to upgrades. You know, let's see what's out there.
You could have like Lance Armstrong's lungs.
Yeah, exactly. I could just, that's what I'm saying. I'm going to become just like this crazy, crazy superhuman.
Hmm.
That's a really good hack to my idea. Oh, I never thought of that.
It's because I'm using Einstein's brain, Mike.
That's only like 8%. That's such a value.
Do you guys know what the Dunning-Kruger effect is?
I've heard the name. Is that the Dunning-Kruger effect?
Diane Kruger?
No, it's this curve where basically it illustrates the confidence that you have about a topic compared to how much you know about that topic. And the idea is that if you know very little about a topic, then you're very confident about what you know because you don't know how much there is to a topic. And it's like once you get past that point, they call that the peak of Mount Stupid. Once you get past that point, then your confidence plummets because you're like, oh, fuck, there is a ton to learn about this. And then like as you get a ton of experience, you end up getting more confidence when you're actually like on the path to enlightenment about this individual subject. So tell me something that this does not apply to. Like what's something that you think is actually as simple as it appears on the surface?
The Dunning-Kruger effect.